Looks like we've got everyone present. We have a quorum. Approval of the previous minutes. January 9th. No, we're voting are, January 1st.
Okay, January should be first. Okay, we're going to talk about February. Yeah,
okay.
Okay. We're going to talk about February.
So we have a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Carol, this time we want to slow things down so you have an opportunity.
We had 2 seconds. So.
Who said it first?
So. Dennis made the motion and Terry seconded?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor of approval, raise your hand. Look unanimous. All right, February minutes. February 13th. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved. We need a second before we can discuss it.
Oh, that's right. Okay, we have a motion. Do I have a second?
I will second because I want to ask the question.
All right, Carol, a second, then we can discuss.
This is the one where Terry Plum made a motion that was not seconded, and I had checked with some parliamentarians about whether it should be included, who suggested it would not be included, but based on what I'm hearing tonight, it needs to just have a statement that the motion was made, but how did you word that?
No, I'm reading here, it says, Carol, after the motion, it says, Carol Herring seconded the motion.
There was another one, there were two.
But you seconded it.
The first motion didn't get seconded.
The first motion did not get seconded, you're right.
And that's the one that's not mentioned in here, and I want to at least put it in that the motion was made and failed.
Motion to .. Motion failed to lack of second. So I think, Dennis, if you would amend your original motion to incorporate that.
No, this is the next one we're talking about.
And that's the one I thought was the
meeting in February at Fort Mill. Mm-hmm.
The February meeting in Fort Mill.
Yeah. I read this, Terry Plum offered the following motion. Oh, okay, that passed with one dissenting vote. Excuse me. I belay what I just said.
Okay, and so the one before that, I have, I actually saved the motion on my computer. I can go back and insert that, just refer to it, but it failed to lack of second. So if they can be approved, as long as that's amended
correct.
Before our next amended. Meeting.
Sure.
Okay.
All right, all in favor, raise your hand. Looks like we're unanimous again. Okay.
And Tim, who made the motion for the February?
Okay, who made the motion for the February approval? I think it was Terry. Terry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and second?
And I think you seconded.
That was me.
Yes.
Right. All right. Public comment. Do we have anybody public comment?
There's
a public. Who's got the list?
Jen's got it.
I think it's Carol.
Carol, you get this? Do you get this?
I do get it. Thank
okay.
You. Do you need to know who to call?
You can just call the person. That would be just fine.
Lauren Cato, my Santa Catherine, old business. And you did not put for or opposed.
It's not really a for or opposed kind of comment. I'm back again, Laura Cato. I live in Fort Mill. Last week I had the opportunity to go to, I have to say this right, the York County Needs Assessment Public Hearing. Josh Edwards, one of the county managers, was in attendance at this meeting, and he mentioned that he has not received any communication from this board at all. He's been there for 11 months. He hasn't received anything, and he needs that from you guys. in order to do anything budgeting purpose-wise, working towards getting better libraries, bigger libraries, in order for them to have it in their discussion, which they are starting to discuss budget for next year now, they need that information. They also need a formal plan from you guys for your 5 to 10 year plan. What's the library system going to look like in the next 5 to 10 years? So I wanted to make sure that I publicly commented that because I still have the same desire. We need bigger, better libraries. So that's my comment.
Thank you. All right. Reports. Director.
Thank you. Very, very short report today. With regard to the statistics, I would just like to point out that our new YCL app is up to 788 users. This is just the second month of collection. And I don't know that there's anything necessary out of the world to report, but if you have any questions on the statistical report, I'd be happy to answer them. And if you don't, I wanted to let you know that National Library Week is coming up in April, and that is April 6th, well, that's a Sunday, April 7th. The whole week celebrates different parts of both library workers and friends of the library and library programs and services, so we'll have some goings on. Tuesday is National Library Staff Workers Day. So if you think of it, pop in, say thank you to the library workers, to the staff. They always appreciate it. Then there's Outreach Staff Day, and then there's Friends of the Library Day. So we'll be celebrating that. And we do have, I'd like to announce that we have a new branch manager for Rock Hill, and that is an internal hire. Our Clover branch manager, Amanda Atanasi, is starting the 31st of March. So now we'll have a Clover opening. You know how these things go. And if you have any questions for me, please ask. If you don't, I will hand it over to Dennis. Yes.
Julie, don't you think it's appropriate to discuss the information that came down from State Library about sexual content in books and the definition of...
What's your question?
Well, should that we not discuss that so the public knows that we have a new procedure in place or different for assessing books?
Julie, I think he's talking about this that came out from the state education.
Oh, the memo that I informed you about.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Dennis. So the South Carolina Department of Education, in complying with regulations 43-170, the final orders from the State of Board Education, these are books that they have reviewed, and part of how they reviewed and decided whether to remove the books from the library or just allow parental consent or keep them in the collection, provided a clarification of sexual conduct description that is very, very helpful to in our complying with the moratorium that the board set in October. This can be found on the South Carolina DOE website.
Very good, thank you.
Carol, are we going slow enough for you to be able to get off?
So far, except I didn't get Amanda's last name. I was going to check on that later.
Amanda's last name?
Oh, A-N-T. I'll email you.
Okay. Yeah, it's fine.
Because you all, taking minutes, that's a tough job.
It's a tough job.
The recording does.
We appreciate you being willing to do it. We don't want you saying you're not doing it anymore.
I'm assuming it's working.
It's working, yeah.
Okay, so, but all of that, you said it can be found on the South Carolina Department of Education website.
Correct.
Okay, great. Thank you, Julie. Treasurer's report.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to indicate I'm going to talk about our results, and we're going to let our financial staff person present the budget to us. So we can either do it right after I'm done, or we can go down into new business, whichever is your choice. But let me present the current budget right now, and the results, I should say, then Pam, whenever you want her to discuss, will be presenting the budget to us.
You go ahead with yours, and then we'll drop down to new business.
All right, so I'll call your attention to the statement of revenue and expenses for the month ending February 28th. And consistent with calling out just high-level exceptions, you'll notice in the revenue section, our state aid appropriations was under, and I've been notified that we received the check the 1st of March. So that number will spring into within standards there. So that's taken care of in terms of state appropriations. And if we look at our expenditures, the only expenditure, again, that's out of line on a month-to-month basis, but not at the year-end basis, is our periodicals. And again, that is, I've said this repeatedly, it was just a basis of when we paid for the periodicals, and we are in nowhere in jeopardy of going over our year budget. So everything else is within line of results, acceptable results.
Excellent. Okay. Any questions anyone have on the budget? All right. Standing committees, that would be our strategic committee.
We have not met, but I have spoken with both members, and we will be meeting, if you will accommodate us, at our next location. We want to meet at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Prior to our regular board meeting.
Very good. And then
the policy committee will, based on the information we receive, decide whether we're going to meet before the meeting or at our next monthly meeting, and we'll have to see when people are available. But they will be public meetings per the discussion.
Okay. Good. All right. We're moving quite along here. Old business, I don't have any old business. So new business, Pam, we're going to let you take the floor.
Okay. So you have a two-page handout for the 25-26 fiscal year budget request. And just to kind of give you an overview of kind of like a legend, a key to this, if the number is in red, that is a change from the prior year. It's an upwards change. The budget has increased from the prior fiscal year. If it's in green, it has decreased. So those color codings are there just to kind of help draw your eye to it. And as we go through each line, I can talk about each one individually. We'll start with county appropriations. And we did receive our estimated millage value from the county. It has not been confirmed yet, so this is based on estimates. The millage increased by a little over 5%. But we did see a large increase in what they're estimating in delinquent taxes. In past years, it's only been about $50,000, and this year they're projecting $150,000. So depending on when county gets back to us with those final numbers, we're looking at county appropriations of about $9.2 million. Our state aid appropriations, we have not heard whether those are going to be changing for the new fiscal year. So those are in black. There was no change from the prior year. Our fines, fees, and rentals income seems to be trending upwards. So I did increase that budget a little bit just to reflect the fact that we do seem to be bringing in a little bit more money at the branches. A lot of times those are for things like lost books, or we're not really charging late fees anymore, but other fines that might be on the user's account. The other revenue section only includes two revenue sources. It's our funds from the Friends of the Library, and it is our interest income from the money market checking account. The reason that it's decreased this year is that I did not include an estimate for our refund or credit from the South Carolina Retirement System. Last year, for 24-25, we did receive a credit of $29,666. So it is possible that this number might increase when we find out about the SCRS credit. So that brings our total revenues to an estimated $10,118,360 for an increase of about 5.5%. Any questions on the revenues?
I have a question.
Yes.
Of the money that's indicated state aid appropriations, is any of that money that's been actually started with the federal government and funneled through the state?
That's what comes from the state library.
But is that, is
it's
that,
the state.
It's state. All state. It's
not,
the
none
state.
Of that's federal money. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so under expenditures, we start off with our biggies, which are our salaries and employee benefits. As you can see, if you look at a previous year approved budget and our current year to date, we're projected to be at 99.5% of our budget. We did have a little bit of a dip. We had a couple of positions vacated with newer staff coming in at a lower salary level, so there's a small variance there. But the estimate was really right on point last year. So what we did for this year is we took our current salaries and budgeted for a 3.5 merit increase, which is, again, based on the information that we're getting from county as far as this year's merit increases. Because of the drop in the base of salaries, even though we're doing a 3.5% increase, the increase in the budget is only a little bit over 2%. Employee benefits includes our taxes that we pay. It includes our health insurance premiums. It includes retirement portion. And we do anticipate an increase in our health insurance premiums this year, which in the past, the library has picked up and has not passed that on to employees. So that is reflected in this increase. The books category, this is our general category for our print materials, fiction and nonfiction. We did really target our nonfiction areas with an increase this year. Our selectors are telling us that they're getting less book for the buck, really. The books are becoming more expensive. So in order to maintain the level of inventory that's coming in, we did increase nonfiction. And we did increase across fiction areas slightly as well, although not quite as much as nonfiction. Our periodicals budget, we anticipate, will remain the same, as well as our AV materials. Electronic reference, which covers databases that we buy, it covers Libby and Hoopla. We are seeing a need to increase some funds there. We had to kind of eke what we could into that category, which resulted in about a 1.6% increase. Our hotspot budget for 24-25 was $82,000, and we're pretty much on track to hit that. We'll probably end right around $81,000. The reason I have $82,000 for this year in red and not black, even though it's technically not a change, is that the FCC has a division, has a program called E-Rate, and E-Rate provides free internet to libraries and public schools. In 2024, E-Rate increased their offerings to provide funding for hotspots as well. York County Library applied, and we were awarded a contract that would reduce the cost of our hotspots to $32,000. However, given the way that funds are being cut in the federal budget right now, and that some educational institutions seem to be perhaps at jeopardy, we're a little bit concerned that that contract might not be honored. That is why we had decided to keep the hotspot budget at its previous number of $82,000.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Ask a question? Do we pay for the hotspots even if they are not being used?
There is a monthly charge for the service, but they are always being used. They're
okay,
never
so
on the
shelf.
Okay,
so you don't have any just sitting around not,
very,
not being
very
used.
Rarely. Most of them are on hold.
Okay, and they are only allowed out a 30-day period?
I believe it's 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah.
Can you renew that if no one's in? But if you, there's a waiting
not
list.
Not if someone's on hold. If it's on hold, it cannot be renewed. They have to
so
bring it in.
Do we have enough hotspots?
We have 225. We could always use more because
okay.
The demand is high.
But these are, I know that this increased during COVID when there were so many students who really needed access to the internet. But it hasn't dropped since then.
And how many do we have total?
225.
The entire system.
Our microfilm budget and bindings budget, this is mostly for the ancestral part of the library where records are being, original records are being bound into books and being put on microfilm records that come from churches and things like that. those budgets should hold steady. I did speak with the gentleman who's in charge of that, and he felt fairly confident that that would hold steady. Our utilities budget typically has only included things like water and sewer, electric, gas, and other city charges. However, because E-rate might be in jeopardy, we've included an estimated cost here if we had to provide our own internet services for the five branches. That's why there's a significant increase in the utilities section. And Dennis and I did talk briefly about perhaps splitting that out into a separate line item if we need to do that. If you don't like it being in utilities, we can split that out separately and have it as a separate line item. Our telephone costs should hold pretty steady with RingCentral and AT&T being our main providers. Our insurance cost, the insurance reserve fund, that's what IRF stands for in the notes column. They did send out a memo a couple of months ago indicating that there would be a 15% increase in all rates beginning in April of 2025. We renew in March of 2025, so we won't get hit with it this year, but it will hit us at the tail end of 26 fiscal year, so that increase is reflected here. Our building maintenance budget has a significant increase this year. There are several major repairs that need to be done to our parking lots and our buildings. And we've been informed by county that those repairs do need to be our responsibility. So we are targeting all of the parking lots and some rotting fascia boards that are at the Fort Mill Library, as well as some other projects that our facilities manager feels are long overdue. So that is a significant increase.
Are those projects all under $50,000?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
What's the significance of that?
That's a policy, like here at York, we replaced the fascia board outside. That was over $50,000, and so we fund that. I just want to make sure that you aren't missing an opportunity for us to take that from.
You don't
okay.
Get it.
So the policy is just a standing policy. Under 50, the like entity takes the responsibility. Over 50, the county will take the responsibility.
Okay.
Because so the county owns the building.
Right.
So if we got quotes and found that a job was to be over 50, we could come to county and say this.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
That helps. Thank you.
That's good.
Our computer maintenance budget, we've also increased fairly significantly. We do need to add several cameras for security to our Rock Hill location. Wix is a service provider that hosts our intranet. It's actually very inexpensive. It's only about $350, but it isn't a change this year. SIP2 is our connectivity for our app, so that is a computer expense as well. And we have a laptop lab that is about, I think he told me, 11 years mm-hmm. old. The laptops are no longer functioning. So what we'd like to do is get that laptop lab going again so that it can be used in programs and for educational purposes.
What is a laptop lab?
It's just a group of laptops that can be used in programs. So 10 or 11 laptops. So if we had somebody coming in who wanted to do education on Excel, we would have laptops that patrons could use to take that class.
It's not like a cart that they use in schools.
No, I don't think it's he has of, it on a cart.
It's not a cart, but it is stored that way. Behind locked doors.
Our equipment maintenance, there's just a small increase here. We've seen a small increase. This is things like the rental on our postage meter and our credit card machines. It's just those rates go up, so we did adjust that budget. Our vehicle maintenance seems to be holding steady. It looks like we're going to be a little bit under budget this year, so I kept that budget at $22,000 and did not change it. The supplies budget is going up slightly. That $2,000 increase is all going to what we call processing supplies, and that's where the books have to be covered with jackets and have certain stickers to come into the library, and those costs do seem to be increasing. Moving on to the second page. Marketing is coming down just by $1,000. We're returning the marketing department to their original budget, and we will also be paying the fee, the annual fee for the York County Library app out of this budget. So that's what those two are. The marketing portion is $5,000 and the app portion is $10,000. Professional fees, we are definitely going to see an increase in our professional fees next year. The cost of the audit seems to be going up by about $2,000 a year. And in addition, because we are no longer managing our health benefits as part of county, we are now our own separate entity. There is a valuation that has to take place every year, and we received a quote for those services, and that is reflected in that. Our programming budget is an increase of 18%, which is a little bit misleading because this programming number is actually the same as last year's first approved budget before the county decreased our millage. So when county decreased millage last year, we had to take some programs out of the budget, and that's why it came down to the 113. But originally it was 133 and change, and as you can see this year, we're just trying to get it back where it was and put those programs back in place. Programs and services from grants and donations. This is our money from Friends of the Library, and they've given us a very generous increase for 2025. We actually just received that check the other day, so it's going to very good use. Our memberships are our professional associations, just a slight increase. SC Lens tends to increase their fees just a little bit every year, so that's what that increase is. Staff development and travel has decreased. We removed the amount that was previously allocated for the new AEDs in last year's budget. We removed a software suite called Culture Amp that was intended to be used for employee reviews, but wasn't really a fit for our culture. So we removed, ironically, removed Culture Amp. There's also about $2,600 in there for some continuing education for me to obtain a certification status with the IRS that will just grant me a higher level of authority with the auditing company. Postage should remain the same. Security should remain the same. Our capital outlay, we're increasing by $5,000. We're creating a sinking fund to target a vehicle replacement in about 7 years.
You blend by security really fast.
Yes, sorry.
Does that, are we including an officer at downtown Rock Hill in that amount of money?
That's our private security staff.
Yeah. Yes. And does it include like cameras and other things, or are they in the,
this is just
the, they're in the electronic
budget? This is just the officer.
This is the officer.
Yeah.
And that's part-time, obviously, right now.
30 hours.
And you just have them working the appropriate times that you need them.
Yeah.
And he's only in the Rock Hill?
Only Rock Hill. Yes.
Is that working out well?
Yes. It is.
Our miscellaneous, I kept the same. Miscellaneous is kind of a catch-all for things like our bank fees and sales tax and other charges that we come across that are just miscellaneous and maybe the place to go.
I'd like, if you don't mind, I'd like you to go back. I
sure.
Didn't want you to stop talking. I want to talk about the capital outlay.
Sure.
Especially when we've got capital here. So tell him the story again. I just want to make sure he agrees with it.
Oh, we had talked about it previously. That's how we came up with the $5,000 per year in a sinking fund to target vehicle replacement in about 7 years.
Basically the same way the county operates. We're setting aside money to pay for future vehicle replacements and then put you in a position where you can borrow money down the road.
Right.
It just seems to me that that isn't enough because if we're talking about all our vehicles, including the bookmobile, I would be thinking we would be talking about.
I don't think that would consider the bookmobile.
No.
The bookmobile was kind of a unique circumstance. We had a lot of grants and donations that went towards the purchase of the bookmobile because it was so much.
Mm-hmm.
This is more, for example, we had to replace the SUV that was damaged by hail last year. And the cost of it was about $28,000. So we figured 7 years from now, similar vehicle would probably cost about $35,000. That's how we came up with that target. But yes, it is only anticipating replacing one vehicle.
But we have a couple vans, don't we?
We do.
So what? How is that going to be replaced?
That's a good question.
Okay.
Good question.
Well, I mean, in light, if we're putting this fund together for vehicles, quotation marks, we should put the whole, not just one vehicle, we should put the whole, all the vehicles
the fleet.
In it.
Mm-hmm. You plan on keeping the vans in the future?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, then I would agree with Dennis. I'd do the same calculation approach on that van as well.
That is my presentation. If anyone has any questions, please let me know.
Questions, anybody?
I'd like to hear what, let's talk about hotspots for a minute. What is our objective by offering hotspots?
To provide digital connection throughout the county. The South Carolina Broadband Office has been working over the last couple years to make South Carolina connected and everybody have access to internet, telecommunications, et cetera. It's their mandate. And so they rely on the libraries while they're doing that, because a lot of us do this hotspot program to fill that gap for our counties until such time that we can call it a program we don't need. So it's really important for us to be able to have students or people working from home. We think that's a valuable service to provide our people who don't have access in Western York, primarily.
So the objective is admirable. Mm-hmm. My problem is, how do we measure that objective is being accomplished?
Well, we would, our
I know it's being used.
Yeah, that's how we would count it.
But, you know, quite frankly, it could be used for a plethora of things.
True.
And so we had a very narrow and noble use for it that you described, but yet we have no method of measuring that or policing that. So it's kind of a very much of a wide open situation. You're just giving people data.
Access to.
Yeah.
We're giving people access to the broadband internet, which is essential in today's world.
It
and
is.
I think it's a very appropriate for us to do it. I wish we were able to provide more rather than less.
And how do you know they're doing it?
People check out books in the library. I don't know if they're reading them or using them for a doorstop. These are citizens of this county, and they have a right to a benefit from the services we could provide.
Okay, my point is, I would like to see if we could develop some kind of a method to making sure that we're accomplishing that objective.
If our objective is to allow people to access the broadband access.
Yeah, that's our only objective.
I think that's pretty obvious as being accomplished.
Okay, I thought we were for this. We were also concerned about the use of that broadband. Yeah. Or not?
No. The important part is connectivity. There's so many things that you could do with that connectivity. Download books is one thing, but there's also where you can apply for jobs when you're in your house. It's a plethora.
Julie, which library has the vast majority of the hotspots?
Rock Hill.
Okay.
That's not Western York. That's not Western York County.
Do you live in Western?
We don't do that.
We just say, do you have a library card?
Okay.
And are you an adult? And that's all you need to. The usage agreement just says that you're not going to damage it. You can't download lots of music because you'll just, what's the word, that buffer?
You run out of
buffer out. So there's limited. Like you can't be. You know, it'd be very difficult to play video games. It'd be very difficult to have a lot of music.
You do not check them out to children. You just said,
yeah, 18 and above required.
And about how many gigabits do we let them have then? It is limited.
It's five gigs now.
Well, the connection is.
I
don't know how much data is available before it. Tanks.
I don't have that kind of memory for numbers.
Yeah.
But we know it's fairly standard.
Yeah, I mean, because we get the bill and it's $30, and I'm sure it's so many. It's just like your telephone, right? You buy a package, so we
That's
bought
right.
225 packages.
That's right, and
of
you
so
can.
So many gigabits per month,
mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, and I don't know if we have any. If there is the lease or rental is for 2 weeks. Is that correct, or
yes.
Is it three?
Two.
So the first 2 weeks, they can take the full measure of it, and then the last 2 weeks we could have it for rental, but we don't have any data available. Is that correct?
That is true.
Okay.
If I know there are no fines for books, what about for the hotspot?
Yes,
fine.
They fine for late, and then if anything's damaged or lost, they're paid for.
So if they lose it, they have to pay for the whole thing?
Correct.
How much is that?
$100.
If I remember correctly, in the past, the question was asked, is there a way to check to see if the hotspots are being taken out over and over by the same mm-hmm. patrons, customers? What was the summation of that?
So it was two steps. We don't keep records of what people check out, mm-hmm. so we couldn't look at it that way. So we took an informal survey at the branch for a month or two, and I sent out those numbers to you, just mm-hmm. by way of how many. I couldn't tell you right now because I think it was, you know, 6-8 months ago that we did that. But that's what we did. We had little hash marks like, are you checking it out again? Have you checked it out before? Mm-hmm. But
is there a waiting list for people that want it but haven't been able to get it?
You can only, it's not a waiting list. You can put a hold on something.
Just like books?
Just like books.
Okay.
So is there a system to where you could limit how often a person can get a hotspot so that other people that's on the waiting list will have the opportunity to get their turn?
That's why we don't do renewals unless there's not a hold on it. And so you don't usually get to renew because there's holds on it. Mm-hmm. That's how we do that.
So the hold goes the next person in line?
Yeah.
In fact, so.
Mm-hmm. And then it's out for 2 weeks and goes to the next person. Yeah.
All right. Any more questions?
Yeah, I would like to ask a question about the significant cut in staff development and travel. It seems to me we're shooting ourselves in the foot by preventing our people from getting professional development. Is that affecting performance? Is it affecting career aspirations? Is it a discouragement for people to pursue a career in libraries if they can't get that kind of development?
So I'll answer it this way. The decrease came because of disassociation with ALA and going to ALA conferences for continuing education. And the monies that we had in there would go to send at least one or two people to the annual conference and then a couple more people to smaller conferences. And that might include flights and things like that. A lot of these things are virtual now, but not those. So that's probably where you see the biggest decrease. But there are several other places for us to get continuing education through the state library, through South Carolina Library Association, from Library Works, Niche Academy we're working with. So Buffy, who is our HR manager, has reached out to different resources to provide training so we can continue giving our staff opportunities to learn.
So you're actively seeking replacements from what this board has forbidden you from having?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The largest part of the decrease in that category was from the removal of the Culture Amp software, which was about $18,000 a year.
That's a big chunk.
Tell me again what that software did.
It was to help with the employee review process. It was a database and process with employee reviews, but we determined that our employee review process that we had in place would be sufficient and we could take the savings by not renewing that software.
Very good. Thank you.
So the program was a dud, basically.
It was a little more elaborate than what we needed.
Yes. All right, any more questions? All right.
Having a question, if you don't mind. So the firming up of the mill rate, we have kind of a tentative date on that?
And we promised that to county council at the retreat that's going to be later this month. And as soon as that's provided, we will email that information over to Pam and Julie.
We'll have it by the next meeting for sure.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, any more new business?
I had a couple of motions. Is this the appropriate time to bring those up?
Yep, this is it.
My first motion.
Hold on 1 second. Let me pass these out.
I
Do you need one? I don't need one.
I do.
I have my own.
You don't have one, do you?
I don't, thank you.
Yeah. Ready?
Yes, sir.
I move that we instruct the director of the York County Library to evaluate the 24-25 budget to ascertain the feasibility of reallocating anticipated unspent funds from all categories to pay a consultant for a community needs assessment.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second? All right, no second. The motion does not move forward.
My second motion.
Okay, let me just give one little thought on that particular motion. I think we as a library board have come to the conclusion over the past many months of assessing ourselves that our biggest need is for another branch library in the Fort Mill area and Clover. And so I think the reasoning is instead of spending $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 of the taxpayers' money, that we already know what we need, so we don't want to spend all that money to come up with the same conclusion. So we have a pretty good idea of what is needed in this
Since this realm. You opened the discussion, I will disagree with that. I don't think we know what we need to the extent that we need to have a professional assessment come in that we can prove service and come up with a plan that we present to the public and the county council for building more than one library. This county is 20 to 40 years behind in building libraries, and piecemealing it's not gonna work. We need to have a program to go out and get people informed about what libraries do. The biggest problem we face right now is indifference and ignorance. The ignorance is that people generally don't know what modern libraries do. And I think we need to help educate them, because if people knew what other libraries are doing, they would be demanding we build libraries. I mean, why are we here if we're not championing better, bigger, more modern libraries? All the rest of this is piff. Really, I mean, that's what our mission should be.
Okay, well, you're on the strategic planning, so we'll look forward to the future.
We will.
All right, what's your second motion?
I move that the agenda for every meeting include a brief presentation, approximately 15 minutes long, on a different South Carolina public library that is noted for innovative features, to include but not be limited to makerspaces, meeting rooms, drive-up circulation department, dedicated spaces for children and or young adults, and workforce development services.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I think that kind of goes what he wanted last time, and it should, strategic planning committee should start looking at that and then bring us something.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I think the strategic planning committee should be doing that. I don't know if we need to take time in the whole meeting.
Excuse me, but the procedure is either we get a second.
I'll take care of it.
We don't get a second.
Okay, that is correct. You present the motion, and if there's not a second, then it doesn't go forward.
So okay.
That is correct. Okay, any more new business? All right, I don't think we have any desire for executive session. So do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Dennis Getter, do I have a second?
Second.
Susie, Carol, do you have any questions as to anything on the notes before we adjourn?
I will get the Julie, I'm the one thing that I think I have everything else, and I've got the report, so it should be good.
All in favor of adjournment, raise your hand, please. That's pretty much unanimous. Thank you all.
Can I say something?
No, we don't take questions.
I didn't hear that.